Welcome to What the Health, a podcast where we explore the key health issues that are often dismissed. I'm James Jensen, a functional medical practitioner and owner of Hella Health, a holistic clinic focused on treating the root cause of issues rather than the symptoms, by connecting the dots and giving you practical and evidence-based solutions.
And I'm Julie Johnston, one of James's clients, and I also happen to be his PR consultant who, let's be honest, basically strong-armed him into doing this podcast.
So if you've been going around in circles, feeling dismissed and not getting the results you deserve, then you're in the right place.
Because as you always say, James, just because something is common doesn't mean it's normal.
Exactly. So let's drill down to what's really going on.
Today we have a very special guest with us. If you have ever been into the Hello Health store before or booked an appointment on the phone or had made an online order and had items sent out to you, there is a good chance you've had a touch point with today's guest. Today we're welcoming Lane Matthews, who is the clinic manager here at Hello Health. So yes, James is her boss, but she's still turned up to the podcast. And she is also the mum to six-month-old Maya.
Yeah, so really, really happy to have Lane back on board. We certainly missed her. I don't know if I could make it any more obvious, but yeah, certainly glad to have Lane back. She is the backbone of our team. So
the place was falling apart without you, Lane. So welcome back.
Thank you. I'm a bit nervous, but yeah, good to be here. Good to be here. It feels weird to be behind the microphone instead of peering in through the window, seeing what's going on, but yeah, it's exciting.
Well, we're very excited to chat with you today. And as I alluded to at the start there, you are mum to beautiful six-month-old Maya. And today we want to have a little bit of a chat about that journey and some of the emotions and experiences postpartum as well. We think that you've got a lot of wisdom that you can share with our listeners. So could you start by telling us a little bit about your pregnancy journey?
Yeah, so I guess a brief backstory, I suppose. I suffered from unexplained infertility for many, many, many years. And so I'm no stranger to, you know, supplements and alternative therapies and natural therapies and things like that to get to a pregnancy. And then we'd literally given up hope. We had one last frozen embryo and it was a bit of a, I suppose, a compassionate transfer when we transferred it, because it was like, okay, well, we've got one left, we'll transfer it. Didn't have much hope. We sort of made plans to move on with our lives and, you know, live a life without children, and then all of a sudden, surprise. So yeah, very, very lucky, very, very blessed, but I suppose the stress and the anxiety that comes along with fertility treatment doesn't just disappear when you fall pregnant. It's still there, but it changes. It turns into, it was a beast. It was, you know, you can't help but think every minute that something could happen. So you're not just taking, you know, a normal pregnancy, like prenatal vitamin. You're taking things for stress. You're taking other medications. So it was a lot, there was a lot going on. But thankfully, the pregnancy itself was quite smooth, no issues. Towards the end, a few hiccups and things, but all in all, amazing.
And so you mentioned, like, towards the end you had a few hiccups. You ended up with gestational diabetes, didn't you? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, yep. So it was always in the back of my mind that this could happen, given my age.
How old are you?
I'm 42, yep. Yes. So a geriatric pregnancy, a geriatric mother.
Just she doesn't look it though, does she?
Let me get my walking stick. Just hang on a minute.
She doesn't at all. And it is such an unfortunate term that they use for, is it over 40 that you're branded pregnancy?
It's less.
It's been re-termed advanced maternal age.
Yeah, that's a little kinder. Yeah. So you knew that, you know, you weren't obviously in your 20s, you were approaching pregnancy in your early 40s. So you got gestational diabetes.
Yes. So I had the test and it came back positive. And your immediate thought is to blame yourself and that guilt and think, oh, what have I done? Like, have I done something wrong to cause this and all that sort of thing. And it was funny because the first thing my obstetrician said and the first thing one of my friends said and the diabetes educator said was, this is not your fault. Mm. So it's obviously something that everybody thinks, all the mums think when this happens, and they're like, this is not your fault, it's just your body, it's just the way it's treating pregnancy, you know, you can't control it for the most part. But as somebody who loves food so much, it was a struggle. I found it mentally challenging rather than physically challenging. Like, it was so hard to, you know, make those swaps and constantly have to think about, oh, what am I going to eat? But I can't eat this and I can't have that and I can't do this. And going into the festive season was, oh, it was hard. You've already got so many restrictions when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And then having that on top of it was...
Made it really difficult. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously, you know, as we mentioned, you know, during your fertility journey and during the pregnancy itself, you know, you did use some supplements and were very mindful of that nutritional support. Mm. And, you know, in some cases with the gestational diabetes, things that you couldn't eat or drink, you know, to support that pregnancy. So, James, you know, we talk a lot about those things to do, you know, during pregnancy. What about postpartum? Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Like, why is that postnatal care so crucial?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, preparing a baby and, you know, sort of giving birth, that's a massive toll on the body. There's all sorts of hormonal changes and, you know, as a lot of people would be aware, like the body's giving up a lot of its, you know, good stuff to support this baby. And then so once, you know, you've obviously delivered the baby, you're kind of like left tired, depleted, you know, feeding this baby, or again, you're giving even more nutrition across. And so it can leave you feeling pretty flat because your body's just gone through a massive like physical trauma, and then you've got like sleepless nights and, you know, for some women breastfeeding and things like that. So it's a, I guess it's a very opportune time for things to go haywire. And just it, I guess it's so common because often that's when you're feeling tired and depleted. That's when you're least likely to be able to look after yourself nutritionally. So, you know, when you're exhausted, you're not exactly going to like bounce out of bed and make yourself all these amazing breakfasts and smoothies and be super organized with all your meals. It's when you're sort of like quickly surviving, you're like, what can I do now to get me through this next 5 minutes? You know, that sort of thing.
And newborns are so demanding. Like, you just don't have that spare time. You know, as much as they sleep a lot, it is just constant. And if it's not that, it's the constant stream of laundry and all those other tasks. So, and even if you do have people supporting you, there are certain things that only you can do for that newborn bub. So, yeah, it makes sense that being able to make nutritious meals for yourself isn't necessarily high on the priority list for a lot of new mums.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, physical changes as well, which make energy a problem as well to do those things. You know, for example, there's lots of changes with the brain. You know, the brain will often change size, which is you know, kind of crazy. In preparation for delivery, the body will hold copper and kick zinc out, and that zinc copper ratio, if it gets out of whack, you'll feel very anxious and very stressed, you know, so you compound that with, you know, restless sleep or poor sleep. Mm. You know, obviously there's obvious things like blood loss during giving birth. So if iron's low, so all of a sudden you've got all these key nutrients that you need working for you that you would normally have are gone. So it can be a really crazy time. So,
and all those things you just spoke about, is that what really sort of contributes to some of those postnatal blues that you know, the baby blues and those feelings of sadness and anxiety that we often feel after we've given birth?
Yeah, so there's obviously the neurological stuff, which I think is in part normal. Like I think of it, you know, sometimes in the sense that when you've delivered a baby, you don't want to be like super, obviously you have like the adrenaline rush and there's that happiness, but then after that, you kind of, I guess the body almost wants you to be hyperfixated and caring too much and, you know, a little bit anxious. So you're not sort of like, cool, got a baby, off to the next job now. So I think there's maybe a little bit of a physiological change or adaptation that happens intentionally. But, you know, even things like postnatal depression can be influenced by simple things like, you know, we talk about it all the time in this podcast, but vitamin D, you know, like if you're, you know, all of a sudden inside now where you're normally out and about walking around and, you know, doing exercise outside, you're not doing that. So you're not going to be getting your vitamin D, and that can make a massive difference to, you know, mood and energy. That's for sure.
Yeah. And is it something that you typically see that people stop that nutrient care after birth, and it's something that, you know, we just as a society, we don't think about that continued care?
Yeah, I think definitely a lot of the focus, you know, when you think of things like prenatal vitamins and things like that, people often sort of take them up until delivery, or they go, oh, look, my iron's low during pregnancy, but now I've had the baby. So, you know, like, I guess they're thinking that it's less relevant now. So, and like we said, it's when probably people need to take care of their nutrition the most.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And Lane, I can see you nodding along there as well, you know, in terms of that postnatal care. Can you tell us what was that process like for you after the birth of Maya and how you felt?
Yep. I was prepared as I could be, and I thought I was very prepared in, you know, putting away a few freezer meals and having my supplements ready to go. But there is just your routine goes out the door. There is sometimes no time to eat. And like James said, you're just like I'd grab a muesli bar and that would be it for a few hours and things like that. So going from having three nutritious meals a day to just eating what you can on the go, even I was even forgetting to take my supplements at times because I would take them with a meal and I wasn't having a meal, so I was forgetting to take them and things like that. So it was definitely a shock to the system.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the postnatal depletion, I think what's really important to sort of let people know about postnatal depletion as well, it's something that's still only a relatively new term that mums are starting to hear about and talk about. But it's not even just in those initial 6 months after the birth. Like I know for myself, I think my youngest was about seven when I was diagnosed with the postnatal depletion. You know, so for mums, you know, that are really experiencing all those fatigue and symptoms and mood swings, James, that's something that, you know, it can be come to the forefront quite a while after the birth, isn't it?
Yeah, so I guess if things never get checked out properly, or I guess it's really common where, you know, if I've got like a young mum there, or, you know, with a newborn, and I'll say, you know, how do you feel? And they kind of like look at me like, how do you think I should feel? Mm. You know, I'll say, you know, do you feel tired? Well, yes, I do, you know, and they sort of all take it par for course. So, and you can imagine that if you sort of just always forever putting it down to, well, you know what, I've got young children and I'm not sleeping that well because they're not sleeping that well. So that I guess it kind of gets dismissed as like par for course when it doesn't necessarily have to be. And, you know, that's where, you know, I really encourage women to get things checked out. So like whether it be going and doing some basic blood tests and I guess looking at the small nutrients that what I think a small bit make a massive difference. You know, even thyroid, if your thyroid's going to play up, this is a key time in that sort of postnatal period. And again, it often gets dismissed because if you go to see your doctor, for example, you say, hey, I feel tired and blah, 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 they're likely to go, well, what do you expect? You know, you've got a newborn. But in the background, your thyroid could be playing up, which could be responsible for a lot of the things. So my sort of key message for a lot of women is if you feel horrible and you think that it's, you know, not just par for course, but, you know, obviously if you're sleeping 2 or 3 hours a night and not eating well, you can't expect to feel great. Yeah. But if you think, well, I'm getting pretty good sleep and, you know, like things aren't that bad from my understanding, but I still feel, you know, disproportionately horrible, that's when they really need to take action and go and, you know, see someone like myself or see their doctor and be as thorough as they can with testing and looking into things.
Yeah. And Lane, I mean, the great thing for you is, you know, because of the fact that you had worked at Hello Health for so long and you know so much about, you know, the nutritional requirements for the bodies and the different types of supplements that are available to support, you know, people when they need it. You know, as you said, you thought you were as well prepared as you could be, but there were still elements that took you by surprise. So what were some of the, you know, strategies that you used to help yourself during this time?
Yeah. So I definitely, once, you know, things sort of settled down, I think it was about 3 weeks after Maya was born and things like that, I'd always had really good body awareness. I always was able to pinpoint, you know, why am I feeling flat or why am I feeling this or why am I feeling that? Oh, I haven't taken a, you know, a B12 in a while, or I've been slack on my magnesium or my vitamin D and things like that. So I sort of started getting back into the routine of taking my supplements and just doing simple things like, for example, like getting out into the morning sun and just making a little bit more effort to do the things I was doing before and being a little bit more active and things like that, and just making an effort and not necessarily putting myself first, because you can't, because you have this little human being that you are solely taking care of, but just sort of knowing that if I don't do these things to help myself, then later on down the track there would be a bit of a disaster, the wheels would fall off. So
yeah,
definitely being a little bit more structured with my supplements and what I was taking and my meals and things like that. And just knowing that if I was doing all these things properly and I was still feeling a bit ordinary, just to sort of seek help and think, oh, what am I missing?
Yeah.
Just sort of having a bit of a look into that.
And did you notice a significant difference once you started making those changes?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like I know Maya started sort of sleeping quite well during the night, but I was still feeling flat and feeling not quite right. And I thought, I did have this light bulb moment where I thought, oh, haven't taken any B12 in a while and I have to start taking iron and just things like that. And yeah, definitely just little things. Yeah, for me.
And I think what this chat really does too, I think it just humanizes everything, you know, like you both work in a professional, you know, healthcare space, and, you know, James, you've got two kids, young kids yourself, and, you know, and so I think it just goes to show that even if you are knowledgeable in this area about nutrition, in your personal lives there are still times where the wheels fall off and you have to get back to those basics. So it's a really good reminder to our listeners that, you know, we all have those moments, and that there are health professionals out there that you can get advice from. So is, you know, James, is that something you feel that you've absolutely had those times where the wheels fall off for you as well?
All the time. Wobbly wheels the whole time.
Great at giving advice, but sometimes forget to take your own.
Yeah. Well, I'd hate to think how I'd be without following my own advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, that's what I'm really sort of hearing in Lane's story. As I said, that she, you know, felt that she was going into it really quite well prepared. But the reality of it is still, and you touched on it before too, you know, like as much as you can look after yourself, you know, people always tell us women about self-care, and, you know, it makes me want to scream sometimes, because there are moments with those responsibilities that there really isn't a lot of time for self-care. So, you know, being gentle with yourself as with that as well, in terms of, but if you can at least have some of those basics of taking those vitamins and supplements and getting a bit of fresh air and sunlight and yeah, snatching what sleep you can, make a difference.
Yep, absolutely. Like the whole sleep when the baby sleep things is like, what? Does that, like, no, that doesn't happen. And I do remember I was lucky enough that my husband was off work for like 7 weeks and was helping me. And there were times where I'd be so tired and he'd say, just have a sleep, just have a sleep. But I just couldn't, like, I couldn't switch off. I just couldn't sleep. I was thinking about the washing that I had to do or getting a start on dinner or things like that. But eventually you just need to sort of stop and force yourself to just take time.
Yeah, yep, I can absolutely relate to that. So Lane, have you got any other sort of advice for new or expecting mothers based on your experience?
Yeah, you know, try and be as prepared as you can, and, you know, it's just as basic as, you know, having some meals done for you, or if people are wanting to help you, let them help you if they can. But just going with the flow, I guess. Don't put any pressure on yourself to be what you think a mother is based on what you've seen around you or what other people are doing or social media and things like that. Just, you know, give yourself grace. Don't put too many expectations on yourself. And if you're not feeling right, like I said, if you're doing all these little things and you are keeping on top of everything and you're not feeling right, then definitely seek help. Yeah, don't leave it.
Yeah, great. And James, what about you? What's your advice for new and expecting and postpartum mums?
Yeah, so I guess I'll take more of a, professional recommendation, sort of, in the sense that some key things that I'd always recommend women would do would be to take like a magnesium with a bit of a B complex, fish oil, probiotics and greens. I think they're sort of like key essential nutrients that just help everybody. And, you know, if you make a bit of a smoothie with those things combined, you know that at least for the rest of the day, even if it's just Vegemite toast, you're covered nutritionally.
Yeah.
So I think like smoothies and those things are really important, and often the things that you would do during pregnancy are really, really important to continue, you know, like once the baby's born. But yeah, obviously like Lane's saying, maximize, you know, sleep when you can, all that stuff, you know, easier said than done. So yeah, be kind to yourself, and you know, I guess for the guys out there too that might be listening or being forced into listen, I would say just understand that it is a real thing, because you know, hormones can hijack your brain. So you know, if like your wife or partner's, you know, or you know, going a little bit crazy, or they're crying for no reason, yes, it is normal and to be expected, and you don't have to necessarily panic, but just I guess support where you can, and maybe look at some of the things that we are talking about, like whether it is going and getting some tests, or you know, taking a few supplements, because it doesn't have to be horrible. I guess we always expect it to be like a very difficult time of our life, but it doesn't have to be. Yeah, it, you know, in best case scenario, it's people's favorite time of life.
Yeah, great. And, you know, look, we've touched on some of the challenges, you know, for expecting and new mums. And I think it's good that we have those conversations. But just to finish on a really positive note, Lane, can you share with us what are some of, you know, what has been some of the really lovely, magical experiences you've had since becoming a mum?
Oh, for me, just watching the Maya's development, just little things like one day she'll be sort of half smiling, and then literally the next day or the day after, it'll be full smiles, full giggles. Like she's, you know, just the way that you watch them grow and develop. And even like now, I used to hate those midnight or really late night feeds and that, but now I just sort of enjoy just the quiet time with her and me. And it's, yeah, just little things like that. Yeah. It's magical.
Yeah, there certainly are, you know, as I said, it's important that we do talk about the challenges, and it's important that mums know that there is support out there, and there are some great health practitioners that they can tap into. And certainly James is always a wealth of knowledge. You're certainly a big support to me in the early days, you know, when my kids were young and I really needed that support and advice. So yeah, don't be afraid to reach out for support if you need it. But enjoy all the magical moments too, because there are lots of lovely moments as well.
Absolutely. Well, I guess we can wrap that up. We've got to get back to work, don't we, Lane?
Lane would rather sit and chat with us.
Yeah,
Lane, it's been an absolute delight chatting with you today. Congratulations on your beautiful little girl. We love seeing her come into the clinic here, and we look forward to chatting with you sometime down the track.
Lovely. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Lane. We hope you enjoyed this episode of What the Health. If you want to keep hearing more, follow us on the Apple Podcast app, where you'll be notified every week when we drop a new episode.
And if you love the show and want to support us, feel free to share this podcast with your friends and family, or go and leave us a review.
Yes, please help us make Julie's life easier when she's trying to market this podcast.
Of course, it would be remiss of me not to mention that you can go book a consultation in person or online with James to discuss all your health concerns. Head on over to www.hellohealth.au. Plus, you'll get free postage on any products you purchase.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.